You are listening to The Morning Magazine for Monday, December 6th, 2021. I'm your host, Ellie Stuckrath. Thank you for joining us here on listener-supported community radio. Coming up on today's program, nurses at Longmont United Hospital are going public about staffing shortages and working conditions at the hospital they say compromise safety and their ability to provide a quality standard of care. And December may be lacking in snow thus far, but the CityCast Denver crew takes us to a winter wonderland. At the bottom of the hour, we'll hear the BBC headlines, and then it's a public affair with Frank Dubofsky. And as always, on Monday morning, it's Counterspin at 9 a.m., a look at fairness and accuracy in reporting. Then at 9:30, Doug Gertner will be in the Denver studio to bring you 2.5 hours of eclectic music with the Morning Sound Alternative. All that is still ahead this morning, but first, a look at local and regional headlines with KGN News' Jamie Sudler.
The suspect in the Boulder King Super shooting last March that killed 10 people has been found to be incompetent to stand for trial. Boulder District Chief Judge Ingrid Bakke ordered Ahmad Elisa to undergo treatment at the Colorado Mental Health Institute in Pueblo. Elisa's attorneys had raised the issue of his competence and his ability to assist in his own defense. Subsequent evaluations found that he was not fit to go forward. The Daily Camera reports that at a hearing on Friday, District Attorney Michael Doherty said four doctors had now reached the same conclusion. However, based on the evaluations, it appears that Elisa could be restored to competence with the right medication and treatment. Judge Bakke ordered that she be updated every 30 days and scheduled a review hearing for March 15th. On Friday, Colorado Governor Jared Polis criticized those who are spreading misinformation about COVID-19 vaccines. The governor's remarks came as he addressed the legislature's Joint Budget Committee. Polis said that he is frustrated about the misinformation and blames it for endangering public health, filling hospitals with those who are unvaccinated, and in many cases killing Coloradans. The governor said he was proud that 80% of those in the state have been vaccinated. However, the Denver Post reports that close to 30% in the state remain unvaccinated. Health officials are reporting several thousand new cases every day, and as of last Thursday, only about 400 general hospital beds were available in the state and under 70 intensive care beds. In his remarks about his budget for Colorado's next fiscal year, the governor said that he is doubling down on his commitment to put more money in people's paychecks. Colorado Politics reports that members of the Joint Budget Committee quizzed him on why he wasn't putting more money into higher education and how he intends to address the looming budget deficit. The first case in Boulder County of the Omicron variant of the coronavirus was confirmed on Friday. Boulder County Public Health said that a male who had traveled to South Africa tested positive. The man is isolating, and health officials are notifying people who had close contact with him. On Thursday, the state health department said that an adult woman was the first confirmed case of the Omicron variant in the state. She had traveled to various countries in southern Africa where Omicron was first identified. The Omicron variant has now been detected in at least 17 states. On Saturday, about 200 people protested in Boulder over the requirement for vaccine passports for indoor settings. The Daily Camera reports that the rally started outside Governor Polis' condominium near Pearl Street. There were also protests against vaccine requirements in Longmont. However, it's not clear how many of the protesters, both in Boulder and Longmont, are actually residents of Boulder County. According to the State Health Department, 88% of those in the county who are eligible have received at least one dose of vaccine, and a recent high-profile attempt to force a recall of three Boulder Valley School Board members over their support of public health measures in schools failed when petitioners were unable to get the necessary signatures to put it on the ballot. A woman reported that two men attempted to carjack her in Boulder on Saturday. The incident occurred early in the morning around Realization Point in the 3400 block of Flagstaff Road. The woman said that two young men approached her as she walked out of a parking lot. One of the men showed a rifle and demanded the keys to her car, but they fled on foot when she said she would not hand them over. She was not injured. The police used a drone to look for the suspects, but they were not located. The warm, dry, and windy conditions led to the outbreak of wildfires yesterday. In Clear Creek County near Idaho Springs, the Miner's Candle Fire was about 50% contained. At least two structures were destroyed, but no injuries were reported. The fire quickly spread over about 20 acres due to high winds, and evacuations were ordered. Another fire in southern Jefferson County near Ken Carroll Valley burned about 6 acres on Sunday. Nine News reports it's named the West Ranch Fire and was not threatening any structures. And a grass fire in Denver burned about 7 acres in the Lowry neighborhood Sunday afternoon. Firefighters were able to contain it before any structures were affected. The Denver metro area, including Boulder, is now considered to be in extreme drought conditions, according to the National Drought Monitor. The worsening conditions occur as the area has long gone without measurable snow for record periods of time and has experienced high temperatures. In the forecast for today, temperatures will be lower with partly sunny skies and highs in the mid-40s. Tonight, lows around 30 and a slight chance of snow in Boulder. Tomorrow, partly sunny with highs in the low 50s. Right now, it's about 20 degrees along the Front Range. For KGNU, I'm Jamie Sudler.
You are listening to The Morning Magazine on KGNU. I'm your host, Ellie Stuckrath. Registered nurses at Longmont United Hospital are going public with concerns about staffing shortages at the hospital and how increased workloads for the nurses that remain affect the quality of care there. Shannon Young has more.
I'm here to share with the Longmont community and the community beyond what nurses are experiencing every day here at the hospital.
Stephanie Chrisley is a nurse in the intensive care unit who spoke at a rally in front of Longmont United Hospital last week. She says nurses have grown frustrated and held a vote to unionize, but that Centura Health, which owns the hospital, has delayed the certification of the vote by challenging 7 unopened ballots.
Since our election in July, we have lost roughly 80 RNs at Longmont United. This is nearly a third of our nursing staff. Some of these RNs have worked at the hospital for 2-3 decades. Many didn't want to leave, but felt they had no choice. Some of those RNs who left are new grad nurses, who after a year and sometimes even less, left the hospital questioning if nursing was even right for them.
Chrisley says the positions left vacant have not been filled, creating unsustainable workloads for the nurses who remain.
In my unit, the ICU, we care for the sickest patients in the hospital. And for the higher acuity patients we're seeing, the nurse should have no more than 2 patients to care for in order to give them the critical care that they need. In the last few weeks, we have regularly had RNs taking 3 and sometimes 4 patients at a time. This is day in and day out. And we are talking 4 ventilated, sedated, critically ill patients.
Chrisley works with Chris Kloster, who has been an ICU nurse for 32 years, 21 of them at Longmont United Hospital.
When I started here 21 years ago, almost 21, it was a small community hospital. It was the only hospital in town. And there was absolutely a culture of teamwork and respect. And, you know, and the people here, you know, cared about their community. They wanted to take care of their community. The administrators were people that you saw at the grocery store or at your we're in school with your kids or whatever. And it really continued to be that until, you know, 5 years ago or so when Centura acquired the hospital. And then, you know, it's more of just corporate healthcare.
Kloster says doubled up caseloads aren't just dangerous for patients, but also for the psychological well-being of those caring for them.
When the nurse-to-patient ratio is such that you have 3 ICU patients instead of 2, or, you know, it's hard to deliver the kind of care that for me is the standard. And I think that creates a lot of moral distress for people.
Thursday's rally by the nurses drew supporters from the community, including Longmont City Councilwoman Pauline Christensen.
Longmont United Hospital is called United Hospital because it was formed by the community for the community. Subsequently, it has been sold to a for-profit company that is allegedly based upon a Christian organization, and yet they seem to not be serving the community. They seem to want only to extract money at the expense of the nurses, the patients, all the aides and the people who work for the hospital, including the doctors.
The rally by the nurses may be the most public manifestation of staff grievances at the hospital, but doctors have privately left as well. Trisha Hartley is a charge nurse in the labor and delivery department.
We've been challenged recently because we lost our whole OB doctor group. And so, yeah, they left a few months ago. So right now our labor unit is being staffed by locum doctors from other parts of the state, sometimes even coming from different states like California, New Jersey, New York. The hospital is working on getting a new group of OB doctors, but one of them just started this week and the next one doesn't start until mid-December. So we're going to need to wait for them to build up clientele and have patients that are coming into the hospital.
With fewer patients in labor and delivery, Hartley says nurses from the department have been shifted or floated around to other areas of the hospital they may not be trained for nor comfortable with staffing.
We have NICU nurses who have been NICU nurses for over 30 years and have never taken care of an adult patient and have only taken care of neonates and very premature babies. And they're having to go float out of their comfort zone to be taking care of patients that are adults and very sick patients that they don't feel comfortable taking care of.
Hartley says retention bonuses and pay raises would go a long way to improve morale and stem the exodus, but that Centura Health has withheld those measures from nurses at Longmont United Hospital, even while implementing them in other facilities in their hospital system.
I would like to see the hospital implement the same retention bonus and raises that they are doing throughout the Centura Corporation here at Longmont. I don't think that we should be treated any differently than any other nurses through Centura. And I think that that would help not lose experienced, seasoned nurses who have worked here for over 20 years.
KGNU contacted Centura Health for comment and received an emailed statement attributable to Longmont United Hospital interim CEO Christy Olson. It reads, quote, "The National Labor Relations Board, NLRB, held a mail ballot election for registered nurses at Longmont United Hospital in June and July 2021. The outcome of that election is still undetermined by the NLRB, and we have been working with the agency to resolve the matter. We believe this effort by NNU, that's the National Nurses United, is an attempt to draw attention to the union and move its organizing efforts into the public domain," unquote. Longmont Mayor Joan Peck summed up a common sentiment expressed by many at the rally, that the hospital is an important part of the local community.
I have lived here for a long time, and this hospital has been taking care of my family for decades. It is very, very sad to see that they are not taking care of the nurses who take care of us. So let's all give a hand to our nurses and support them.
It's unclear when the National Labor Relations Board will open the remaining ballots in the nurses' union election. Perhaps even less certain is how much longer the current nursing staff is willing to remain at the hospital under the current conditions that led them to speak out. For KGNU, I'm Shannon Young in Longmont.
Denver may have yet to see snow on the ground, but artist Lonnie Hansen has successfully captured the feeling of Christmas in his annual immersive installation, Camp Christmas. Lonnie's work is kitschy, but not cynical. It's over the top, but not obnoxious. This year, he's transformed the entire 15-building campus at Heritage Lakewood Belmar Park into a lavish and sparkling winter wonderland, complete with neon trees, glitter horses, rainbow chandeliers, and psychedelic sheep. CityCast Denver host Bree Davies caught up with Lonnie Hansen to learn all about the creation of Camp Christmas and how he captured the feeling of the season in this beautiful, interactive landscape.
Even though Camp Christmas is only in its third year, Lonnie Hansen is no stranger to the immersive art scene in Denver.
You probably don't even know that you've been experiencing his art every time you walk down South Broadway and past the Wizard's Chest. Lonnie was the one who designed the store's exterior. You know, the giant magical purple castle. Part of the charm of Lonnie's work, and Lonnie himself, is that he's kind of winking at you the whole time. Like, it's a little kooky, it's a little campy, and yeah, it's a little gay. It's like stepping into a crazy Christmas tree. That's Lonnie's magic. And my producer, Xandra McMahon, and I got to experience it when Lonnie was just starting to set up Camp Christmas in October. So, Lonnie, are you going to be outfitting the majority of this space, or?
Well, this six acres that we're standing on.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we'll walk through it.
Yeah, let's do it. Of course, it's Colorado, so now it's a million degrees.
Yeah.
I was like all wrapped up. I'm like, well, I got my Uggs on jacket,
I went
and now
ahead
I'm
like, zipped up the parka, put the scarf on.
So we're sort of imagining how things are going to be because they're not out yet.
Right. So you come through the big gate. We have a gigantic gate here that's made out of all these lodge poles. And you're welcomed in, and you can start earning your merry badges. There are up to 24 merry badges that you can earn as you journey through. We're standing in base camp right now. So you can earn your Let It Go badge by checking your emotional baggage at the emotional baggage check.
Should be a requirement for every holiday.
Should be
like, and then here's where you check all that stuff you're going to try to hold us emotionally hostage with at Thanksgiving dinner. Thank you. So I feel like there's sort of a dual meaning here with camp. We're talking about like an actual physical space, like if Christmas had a camp to go to.
That's correct.
But also I'm thinking of the aesthetics of campiness or the feeling of camp.
The campiest of camp.
The campy. Can you explain those two?
Well, it is both.
Okay.
Because I am a bit of both.
Sure.
Yes, it's camp as in summer camp or a camp that we go to for the season or a winter camp. But it is mainly a camp of my imagination, and we tell stories in a very campy, overly rich, extra heapings of glitter kind of way.
For someone that doesn't know what campy means, what embodies camp?
Things that are over the top. Things that are sometimes sarcastic.
So an expression.
It's an expression. It's over the top. Too much is never enough. More is more.
Sure.
Lots of color, lots of sequins, lots of glitter. And the Christmas season is the perfect time for that.
Oh, absolutely.
Because it already has a license.
To be outrageous.
Extra.
Yeah.
Everything is extra in camp.
It's true. I know that is. I never made those connections, to be honest with you, between campiness and Christmas. But they're two things I love. So of course,
well,
why
I think
not
that's
merge
why
them?
I am. Yeah, and I growing up, it was the one time a year that you can get away with all of it. Right?
You can wear red velvet.
Yeah, you get to wear whatever color is not banned. You know, all the sparkly
shiny
stuff, all the shiny stuff is cool.
Yeah,
you're not getting in trouble for any of that. So.
And I think it's fun because it's something that kids are automatically attracted to, but also it allows for adults to indulge a little bit.
And I think that what we're trying to do here is to give you a little journey through camp to rekindle, remember, revisit,
being fun and allowing yourself.
That's right. And then we'll go down this path over here to Beauty Camp. It's a mid-century beauty salon, fabulous place. And it will have 27 hairdos displayed. And across the street here, which is Peerless gas station, is being converted into Sweetsville Studio. And this is where we'll be assembling a gingerbread camp.
Fun.
Yeah, so a whole layout of camp in gingerbread and sugar and hot sugar. And I'll be here every day up until Christmas Eve, sort of building this little world within worlds.
Within worlds. So another thing I kind of wanted to ask you is, you are obviously very into making experiences for people to like be in your, with your art. How do you feel about this sort of trend in immersive art, or sort of now, you know, we have a thing like Meow Wolf, and I wonder, you're kind of the guy that was doing it before. What is that? What does that mean to you?
Well, I've been into designing magic for a really long time. One of our earliest immersive projects in the 1980s, and it was also about Christmas. It was about the holidays, and it was our first. And so I love, obviously, for me, I've sort of gone full circle and done a lot of fine artwork and other very popular kind of amusement kind of stuff. And now we're into this immersive wave, which I think is wonderful. And immersive has been around for a really long time. Opera is an immersive art form. And Casa Bonita is one of the oldest immersives in Denver. So the range of what immersive is very, very wide.
That's a great
point. But it's a very interesting time to be alive. And yeah, I love my job. Yeah. But it's interesting for me, yeah, because I'm getting a little older now, to be finding a genre that's so hip.
Now, yeah, versus like the 80s, where you might have been the only one doing that particular style of something, but now, you know.
Yeah, it's nice. It's nice for it to be fitting.
Yeah. So how do you feel about the selfie aspect of this experience for people? I just ask because I think sometimes it has a negative connotation, like, oh, people just want to take selfies in front of my art. But I think that you invite selfie taking.
Oh yeah, no, we love all of that. People come to play. That's part of what we do with it. We want people to come here, and you know, the greatest compliment for us is somebody to say, you know, I thought I wasn't into the holidays this year, but you know, I actually caught the spirit, or I actually
wanted to take a picture of myself enjoying it.
I think people snapping photos for fun and to share with others is great, because it's like we get to share all of our color, you know. I mean, it's all about light, right? It's all about the darkness and the light. And you know, there's nothing wrong with, you know, if you're shining, your light is bound to light up somebody else's path, right?
Yeah.
So there's nothing wrong with like shining that,
sharing it,
sharing all this light.
Yeah.
With whoever you can.
So about a month after I spoke to Lonnie, I went back to Heritage Lakewood Belmar Park for the grand opening of Camp Christmas. Xander went with me again, of course, but I also brought along my baby and my husband. And everything was all lit up. I mean, it looked amazing. Even Santa was there. And the mayor of Lakewood.
Okay, now it's time to kick off the holiday season. Mayor Paul and Santa are gonna make their way down here. And we're gonna light the lights.
Wow. Oh my goodness, all the trees in different colors. I love that it's not just Christmas colors, it's like pinks and purples. Pastels.
Nice, very nice.
Little gingerbread village.
Cool looking too.
Yeah, he's really Lonnie's cool. Got a cool collection of stuff.
Yeah.
Oh! Yeah? Does it look cool?
Like it.
Whoa! Oh my gosh, it's like a pink powder room. The big pink horse.
Another pun tree, but I don't know what the pun is.
Oh wait, it's like it's got some
geometry.
Cheyenne will like that. Come here.
It's like a glow stick garden.
Oh
yeah, kind of reminds me of laser tag. Go to the psychedelic barn over here.
Oh yeah.
Ooh. I love this rainbow chandelier. Oh my gosh. Oh, those colors are beautiful. It's like rainbow. It is. I could stare at it for a while. Wow.
You just heard an excerpt from CityCast Denver, the local Denver daily news podcast. Learn more about subscribing to the podcast at denver.citycast.fm or wherever you get your podcasts.
And that does it for today's Morning Magazine. I've been your host, Ellie Stuckrath. Special thanks to Jamie Sedler, Shannon Young, and to the CityCast Denver crew for their contributions to today's program. If you'd like to make a comment on something you heard on KGNU, you can leave a message at our listener comment line at 303-447-9911. We play the messages back on Tuesday mornings at 8:25. Stay tuned for the latest commentary from Jim Hightower, and then a public affair with Frank Dubofsky. That's just after these news headlines from the BBC.